Hello, Tina.
Hello, Calpin. You are now 28 years old. Congratulations and welcome to the club. How was
Thank
your
you.
birthday?
Well, it was not great. It was
Yeah.
good. I'm happy to be, well, I don't know if happy to be in the club is the right phrase, but thanks for welcoming me. It's a very 28's a very not like upsetting birthday. I think 29 will be and 30 for sure.
Yes, yeah. I'm not looking forward to those.
It's kind of like a whatever birthday. Like I could
Yeah.
survive, it definitely feels older than 27, but it doesn't upset me. I'm hopeful for 28 to be a big year. But it didn't get started off great.
No.
We had plans for a bunch of us to go to a birthday dinner. My birthday was on Thursday of last week, and a bunch of us had gone out that weekend before, and a couple of us, like five or six of us, weren't feeling great come Tuesday. We didn't think too much of
Uh-oh.
it. I didn't think too much of it. And then Wednesday, I was really felt like so tired, had a fever, a headache. Wasn't like terrible, but I took the day off from work to rest. And I still didn't really think much of it. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because I just have displaced myself from what's going on in the last two and a half. It's been a long 2.5 years. The last like
It
six to
has
eight
been.
months, I've really tried to forget that we still are somewhat living in it. But Bones, who I think we all know by now on the podcast, was quite sick, and he was
Oh,
not,
poor Bones.
high fever, wasn't feeling well at all. And he took a COVID test, and I was with him all day Saturday. He tested positive. I was still planning to go to my birthday dinner on Thursday because I'd felt better Thursday, still a
Yeah.
little bit under the weather. But once Bones tested positive, I couldn't, in good conscience, go and
Yeah,
hang out with
absolutely.
14 others. So I reluctantly took a test and unfortunately confirmed that I had. It was the first confirmation of me contacting COVID in 2.5 years.
Yeah. Well, look at that. Almost 2 weeks after me.
Yep. So
We dodged it for a long time.
we did. And I think it's spiking now. And
Yeah,
I
it's gonna
did find
continue.
some upsetting news is that somebody that I was with came out and hung out with us knowing that he had it. And I was very upset to know that's most likely how I got it. But I get
Unbelievable.
it. I'm sure many people are unfortunately doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't fun. I did the mature 28-year-old thing and just hung out with Sonny. I ordered pizza. You very nicely sent me two pieces of ice cream cake, which
I
was
did.
lovely.
Yeah, I felt
Quite
very bad
delicious.
for you.
But it wasn't terrible. I mean, I
How
think
was that ice cream cake?
very good. The peanut butter cup one was much better than the Oreo
Okay, cool.
one.
I kind of assumed that's how it would be. But I didn't want to go with like two of the same one just in
No,
case,
I agree.
one
Both are
set.
good. I'm very much in the boat of ice cream cake is way better than birthday cake. Tina knows
I
this, and
agree.
really anybody close to me knows how much I love ice cream cake. But yeah, I mean, I think I've become really good with, like, I've lived alone now for a while, and I like it. Like, there's very few times where I'm like, fuck, I wish I had a roommate, or God, I got to get out of this house. Like, I do a good job of like getting out, going to the gym. I'm pretty social, I would say, 3 days a week. I like my time alone. Like I'm a big routine guy. Obviously, it was a little upsetting to be alone on my birthday, but
Right, like that's not ideal.
no, it wasn't the end of the world. I think for some people, it truly would feel like the end of the world because
Yeah.
that's how dramatic some people are.
Yeah.
I was lucky. It was a mild case. I felt much better by Friday.
Good.
And like now I made sure with like the CDC guidelines, like everything I read and did like the little calculator online said I could see people by Sunday. So I talked to my parents. They were fine with it because I wasn't showing any symptoms at all
Yeah.
Friday or Saturday. Went home over the long weekend and had a really good time. I think we were talking a little bit about it before and pre-recording. I've always been a city guy. I've always loved the
Yeah.
city. I've always wanted to be in the city, whether it was Philadelphia or other cities that I've thought about moving to over the years. Like I've loved the city for so long. I've been in it now, God, for 6 years since graduating college. Jesus.
I know, we're old.
And I think for the first time, I'm getting the real itch to become a suburb type of guy. I think everything that was so enticing to me about the city all these last 6 years has really started to fade. Like, I don't go out that much, like out. Like, when I'm going out, I really enjoy going out to dinner and having drinks. And, like, you can do that probably cheaper and with just as good of restaurants and vibes in the suburbs. Like, live in Conchie, I've been out there many times. I love Jasper's. I love Dead Dog. I love, like, a lot of restaurants out there. And they have, you know, I think there's still a few things. Like, Conchie closes a little early for my liking.
For mine too.
But, like, I don't know. I felt more and more guilty about Sunny being stuck in the city. And every time I go home with her, she's just so much happier. Like, she runs around in the yard and looks at the birds and sits by the pool. And it's like, she loves it. And, like, I can go to a dog park back home without it being 94 dogs there. Like, there's one or two dogs in a huge park. Like, Sunny's fine with that. But in the city, like, there's literally 30 dogs in this, like, very small enclosed. And, like, you know, Sunny, I just can't do that.
Sunny's a happy girl, but other dogs are her kryptonite.
They are. And she's better on some days than others, but, like, giving her own little yard or going into, like, a bigger, less crowded dog park and, like, I don't know, all of these things. And myself personally, too, like, I don't know. It's just a lot of things entice me in the suburbs. There's far fewer things in the city that are like, damn, I'd really miss that. I think, of course, like walking to pretty much everything is always something that'll be great. And, you know, my nights that I still do want to stay out till 2, 3, 4 in the morning, like I still do have some of those nights. It's gone down from like 4 or 5 times a month to like once a month.
Yep.
You know, you can't really do that in the suburbs, but. You know, I think that's okay. You know, and I think
you can always go to the city for that and then Uber yourself home.
True. So that's just some thoughts in my mind as I turn 28. I also am starting a new project, which I love. I've wanted to do this for a very long time. And I think year 28 was just the right year to do it. I've wanted to really work on documenting. I think we've talked a little bit about it on here, but documenting, being more present, but documenting my life. And in that way, I mean, like,
doing Polaroids,
journaling, and yes, the big one is Polaroid. So I bought a Polaroid camera finally, and the project I wanted to work on was to take at least one picture every day of year 28. Just in like pretty much just taking the picture and putting one word and the date and putting it in, you know, like an album. And then after the year's over, kind of taking a look at everything and looking back on what could be routine days like today. I took a picture of the outside of the gym. Or what could be, you know, specific days like Sunday when I was in my parents' pool, you know, and I really looking forward to trying to spend less time on this big fucking thing. And I just pointed it to my phone. Guys can't see.
Nice iPhone 13 Pro.
Thanks. I just got it on Friday.
Welcome to the club.
Oh, nice. I didn't get the green one, though, mainly because they were back ordered for 4 weeks and I'm impatient when I want
them. Oh, wow.
But yeah, that's my thoughts. And I think this weekend had got me thinking because I really had, I was there Sunday morning till Monday night. And you know me, sometimes I butt heads with my mother and it's not always a great trip at home, but it was a really good couple of days.
Your mother's a lovely human being.
I know that she actually, we were driving. I meant to tell you this. She was like, should I text Tina back?
Yes.
Like, what, mom? That was like five. That was literally like 5 months ago.
I don't care.
I told her no.
Yeah, I know you probably did.
I did. She was like, "You're blocking me," and I was like, "Tina says the same thing."
Yeah, I know. I would like a friendship with your mother.
Well, if I move to Conchie, she loves Conchie. So
excellent. Then I'm even more reason to push you to move to Conchie. Honestly,
she hates the city, but she loves Jasper's.
I understand why I love Jasper's as well. It's a fabulous restaurant and their cocktails are amazing.
How was your Memorial Day weekend?
It was good. Kicked it off on Friday. So my brother's in town. He is visiting from Hawaii. And my older brother actually came for a few days as well. He lives in Miami. But he's like all over the place all the time for work. So he came home for a little bit and then he flew to Miami for like 2 days. And then flew to Amsterdam for 3 days and is in Madrid for like 6 days and then flies back to New York for one day on Saturday for a wedding and then flies back to Madrid for work. So he's just like all over the place all
That
the
sounds
time.
awesome.
Yeah, and like before he came back for the few days to visit with Joey, he had been in Brazil for like 3 weeks for work. So he came like directly from Brazil, basically.
What does he do?
He like basically runs a company for former Miss Universe 1985. She does a lot of things. Like she's made jewelry and like products and stuff, but she's also like a motivational speaker too. And like, I
Is
don't
that
know.
his wife?
No.
No, it's just like his client, I
No, it's
guess, or
just his
whatever.
boss.
Oh, that's his boss. So he
Yeah,
works
she's in
for
her like,
her, like her endeavors, I guess.
yeah, her endeavors, yes. Yeah, I don't really know what all she does, but she's got her hands in the lots of pots, if you will.
So she's got to be like 50.
Yeah, she's probably in her 50s. She was Miss Universe in 1985, so she's probably in her 20s then.
Yeah,
So
that's what
she's
I'm
probably around
thinking.
her parents' age, I would assume. But yeah, so anyways, my parents have a brick oven in their backyard. So we fired that up on Friday and had a party. Ate a lot of pizza. My brother and his friend make it. They do a fantastic job. Saturday, I don't remember what I did. Oh, did a thing with like family and friends, like the neighbors, that sort of thing. And then Sunday, I went to an apartment showing and it was pretty disappointing.
Apartment showing like like a walkthrough for to rent a place.
They had like an open house and there were like a bunch of people there. It was in like Roxborough, Maniunk area, and it was pretty inexpensive. It was 2 bedrooms, 2 full bathrooms for 1500. But they like sold it as like you have like a third like bonus room, which was a finished basement, but the ceilings were so low. And like I'm very short and very I'm 5'3". And for me to say that the ceilings felt too low, you know, like I'm pretty sure if you're anything over like 5'10", you're hitting your head on the ceiling. So yeah, that was a no-go. But went out Sunday night at Morgan's Pier, my brother and some friends, and then had a lovely dinner yesterday at Osteria in the city. Went there with my brother, some friends, and my parents. So
Nice.
yeah,
Sounds good.
it's been a lovely past couple of weeks, spending time with family and, you know, getting on my brother's nerves. But yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. So really feeling like I'm refilling my cup, you know?
Nice, me too. And I got a couple of good weeks to look forward to coming up. Let's see, what do we got? This weekend, I'm getting my first golf lesson.
Ooh, where are you taking that?
It's a place in Jersey. He's like an individual instructor. He's
Okay.
like certified by the USGA, I think it is.
Amazing.
I've been like really working on my game and playing like every week and going to the driving range.
Okay.
And I just thought it was time to actually like fix some of the things that could be maybe easily fixed to shave some
Yeah,
strokes off.
absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to that. I also think I'm going to a Lumineers concert on Saturday night.
Ooh, that's fun. I love the Lumineers.
If you're back in Concha, you should text Tyler because he's the one who I think they're just getting cheap lawn tickets.
All right.
But anyway, doing that and then following weekend, I think my parents are coming up. And then the weekend after that, I have a golf tournament and a softball tournament back to back. And then the weekend after that is the wedding weekend with Jackie.
Yeah.
So June is also filling up my cup, which is it's
Yeah,
pretty
I'm
good.
excited. You know, it's been really hot and I don't love the heat, but it's been more tolerable over these past few days. I feel like once like mid June or not mid June, excuse me, like mid-July, end of July, and like early August hit, I'm gonna be like, fuck this shit, I'm out of here kind of thing. But I'm very excited for the month of June as well. I have stuff going on, but it's all in my calendar and I can't remember what.
Well, you have a wedding the same weekend I have a wedding. I remember you
I
said
do. That's the one thing that I know the date of that, and the rest is just it's
Yes.
out there.
I think I told you this. But I think I'm pretty guarded or shielded. Like, I don't really tell my mom too much about my romantic endeavors. Because she's always on me, as you would expect. Which is which I guess is fair at this point, turning 28. You know, she's fighting at the chomp or whatever that phrase is to get close to grandkids. But I had Jackie was texting me like what her dress colors were and stuff because we want to make sure obviously that we're somewhat coordinated. We're not wearing like the same all that stuff. And I had happened to just be sitting next to my mom outside when Jackie had texted me. She first called me and I was like in the pool and stuff, and I was obviously not going to answer with my mom right there. And then she had texted me, and my mom was like, "Who's that?" And I was like, "Oh, fuck me." So I ended up just showing her, like, she like knew of Jackie because I've now known Jackie for a while. I ended up just showing her the picture, and my mom was like, she looked at me, she was just like speechless. She was like, "Who is that?" And I was like, told her, and she's like, "She's going to the wedding with you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she likes you? And I was like, yeah. And then I sent you the photo, and you were like, don't take this the wrong way, but she likes you.
Yeah, like I said, I think you're an incredible person. But Jesus Christ, she is so out of your league, and I think the league of literally every man that I actually personally know.
Yeah, don't tell her too much. I don't think she knows how much out of league of everyone she is. All
Also,
righty,
I
well,
really hope she doesn't listen to this episode.
she doesn't. I don't think she
Okay,
listens to this. And if so, we're deleting it.
great.
All righty, well, this is obviously roll the credits. We just wanted to catch you up on our lives. This is episode 92. Very exciting, getting really close to episode 100, which we're gonna have a special
100.
episode for. It'll be a little bit different than our regular scheduled programming. And we're also getting really close to 20,000 unique listeners over the time of this podcast, which is really exciting for us. I mean, that's a huge number. We're hoping to celebrate that honestly in the next week or two. So we'll stay tuned for that. But for this episode, we have Daniel Day-Lewis to look at. Widely considered, I think, like when it comes to technical acting, maybe the best to ever do it. He's obviously very particular in the roles he's taken on. We just found out in doing some pre-show research that he's retired after his final movie, Phantom Thread, in 2017, and he's now a shoemaker in Italy.
Yeah, an apprentice.
Yes, an apprentice shoemaker. Which is crazy to me.
Amazing.
It is amazing. I
I
actually
would
think.
love to do that. I would
Yeah.
love to go to Italy and become an apprentice shoemaker. I don't
Yeah.
know how that would happen, if they would accept me or what. I have absolutely no experience, but I can't imagine Daniel Day-Lewis. Well, you know what? I take that
He
back.
probably
He's a very
does.
technical man. He
Yeah.
probably does.
But like imagine like Daniel Day-Lewis, all the money that he has, like being an apprentice shoemaker, and then probably has like this amazing house
Oh, yeah.
in Italy somewhere. It's probably a fantastic life away from all the craziness of America.
Yeah, and the craziness just generally of Hollywood.
Yeah. But we're taking a look at him. It's one of the guys that I had said last episode that I knew how good he was always, but I never really watched his work because, like I said, he's particular in the stuff that he does. It definitely is slower work. You know, he tells a real story. He's
He
not one of
does.
those actors that wants to get the whole Hollywood dramatic type of storyline. Like, he wants to tell a story, factual as can be. I think both the movies that myself and Tina picked, you know, kind of depicted that perfectly. I will let you go first. I know it wasn't your favorite, and I don't think you'll obviously describe it, but it doesn't sound like it was a knock to Daniel Day-Lewis, but
No.
maybe just the storyline wasn't exactly for you.
So I watched the last movie he did, Phantom Thread from 2017, and I asked my grandma if she wanted to watch it with me, right? 'Cause like this is the kind of thing like that's up her alley. It was about a designer. He designed dresses in the 1950s, and his name was Reynolds Woodcock. That's the character Daniel Day-Lewis played. And you know, he's this like posh kind of guy, detail obsessed, like workaholic, and really hones in on his craft. And is very much like that tortured artist, if you will. Honestly, kind of what I assumed to for him to be somewhat like, not, you know, not identical, but somewhat like that in real life. Just the dedication to the craft. So I think that's why he absolutely nailed the role. But anyway, so I put it on. We're like 25 minutes in, and my grandma looks at me and is like, "Can you just please put the tennis match back on?" Because we were watching the tennis match beforehand. And she was like, she quoted her mother, who I call Nana, and I call my grandmother Nina. So Nina and I are sitting there, and she turns to me and she goes, "Well, as Nana would say, this is slower than molasses in January." Like, what? I was like, "You're not wrong." I then put the tennis match on for her, and I continued to watch the movie on my laptop at 1.5 speed.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never
Yeah.
watched a movie like that.
Neither have I. That was the first time I did it. And honest to God, it didn't feel like it was at 1.5 speed. It kind of felt like a normal speed.
Oh, I thought you said five speed.
Oh no. Oh my gosh. No. No, the highest it goes is 1.5. I was trying to get it up to 2, but
that just like speeds up like their conversations and everything, I
yeah.
guess. Is it still like watchable?
This was, yes. Most movies I don't think would be watchable or enjoyable,
Interesting.
especially if it's a movie with like a lot of dialogue. This movie didn't have a ton of dialogue. Anyways, so he's this dressmaker, and he meets this young woman, Alma, and she, you know, you can tell she's decently younger than him. And she wants more from him. You know, he's kind of a dick in the movie, to be honest. But you know, he does have this like kind side to him, and it's just very hard for that to come out. And he's very much set in his routine. For example, she was like buttering her toast, and he was like, "This is entirely too much noise at breakfast." And she was like, "I'm literally buttering my toast." So there were definitely like displays of toxic masculinity and that sort of thing. And you know, I wouldn't say that their relationship was like the best. This was considered a romance drama. So it was, you know, kind of like the story of them and their, to say the least, tumultuous relationship. And eventually she cut up some mushrooms and like put them in his food to like make him kind of sick and like go on a trip. Yeah, it was very bizarre, and like he got sick all of a sudden, and then like he kind of figured out that she did that, and then she did it again, and then he like she just would do it sometimes to like calm him down because he was just so like high strung, and then he'd be like, "Kiss me before I'm sick." And then like he'd be very ill for a little bit. It was honestly, it was kind of bizarre.
That does sound bizarre.
It was a fantastically done movie, I will say that. It was like the it was artistic. It was everything you'd expect from Daniel Day-Lewis, right? The acting was phenomenal. The story, the plot, all of that was slow. Very slow, slower than molasses in January. And IMDb rated it a 7.4. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 91%. I gave it a flat 7. I, with a caveat though, I don't necessarily recommend this movie unless you're like down for this like slow kind of thing. Personally, I was not in the mood for something slow like that. So that really, you know, that took it down for me, but because they were so good and like, you know, like the shots were great and like all of that, I can't give it anything less than a 7.
Right. The acting and technicality of the movie made it that, but it just wasn't your storyline.
No. Okay. I mean, I think they could have made the storyline like a smidge more interesting. If more happened, then yeah, sure. Yeah. I think I probably would have rated it higher, but truly not much happened.
Okay.
But it was nice, you know, whatever. Yeah. My grandmother definitely does not recommend it. She refused to finish it with me. So
that's fair.
Take that for what it's worth. And at one point, too, she turned and looked at me and she said, "I swear, if this man is just a womanizer, I'm not going to watch this." And I was like, okay, Nina.
All grandmas are so blunt.
Yes, they are. But yeah, so what I wanted to talk to you about is what kind of like technical kind of craft would you like to do if you had the choice? Like, like, would you want to, like, design shoes, for example, or, like, clothing, or, like, interior design, or, like, what kind of artsy-ish?
Like, I just had that ability to do it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you had the ability, or, like, photography, just anything, you know, visual.
I do wish that I was more artistically inclined. Tyler is... Obviously, I've grown up with him, and he's always been super artistic, great at drawing and graphic design and all of these things. And I was, by the way, I truly am terrible. Like, I have horrible handwriting. I could never draw. I could never, like, I don't understand how some people can, like, walk into a room and be like, ooh, like, this is where this should go. This is what you should get. This is what you should, you know, whatever. That is what I wish. I wish that I could have the eye or the brain or whatever it is for interior design, not only necessarily for like my homes or apartments or whatever, but like if I could be an interior designer for like upstarting companies and like churches and chapels and like bigger buildings, like just interior design for whatever, like having the eye and technical ability for that would be so cool. You know, I'm trying to get better and better at it for my own personal kind of living, and I think I've gotten better, but it takes me so long. Like, I could never walk into a room. Like, if I walked into an empty apartment or house hunting and like stuff that I'm going to be starting to do, if I walked into that, it would be so hard for me to like be like, okay, I could see this room looking like this. But so many people like have that ability, and I would love to be able to do that on a commercial scale as well as on a personal scale. And I just feel like that would be so great to be able to create a vision and make it come to life. And those two scales. How about you?
So I'm not artistic like Tyler is, but I do have like a little bit of an artistic kind of talent in a sense. Like I can sketch. I'm not good at it. I more so when I sketch, like I look at something and I just redraw it. And because I'm like a little bit of a perfectionist, like I'll take forever to do it. That kind of thing. I used to work at a pottery studio. So, you know, I painted a lot and that sort of thing. And I always like just loved art class and whatnot. And you know, again, wasn't horrible, but certainly not like the best student, and you know, absolutely not like one of the people that's gonna be like, yeah, I'm gonna be an art major because I'm so good at art, you know. So I'd say I'm like a little bit above average, but nowhere near like an actual artist,
right?
But I enjoy all of that a lot, and honestly I think I'd love to be like an architect. I know that's, you know, and design, just like interior design, do like painting and stuff, you know, just kind of like all of that. If I had like that visual ability, that would be, like you're saying, I mean, that'd be amazing. Like, Just imagine like how you could see the world then too and just appreciate so much. And it's interesting because I feel like a lot of stuff these days is very it's becoming very like modernized and chic and cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
And like things just don't have as much character as they used to.
I agree.
It's more like, look at this box you're going to live in.
Especially in America. Like, I think that's why people love to travel abroad so much, because places like Italy and things like that, like, mm-hmm. they have so much character, and just the way that the cobblestone streets and the small little shops and apartments above.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and we lose that, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, those places have been around way longer than the U.S. I mean, the U.S. was native land, and it's so different. It's so different. But, yeah, no, I'm totally with you, like, when you're abroad and you just see, it's just so vibrant. It's so vibrant. The culture is just so like kind of in your face, but not in the sense that it's obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense, but like they're also happy to share their culture too. Whereas here, like all of the cultures kind of meld together.
Yeah, it's like a melting pot.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that before. But yeah. So I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. I think like I always wonder too, like even when I travel within the United States, like if I'm so used to the way things are in and around Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, like if I go visit, like when I went and visited Austin, Texas, like that was even such a different culture and like the roads were clean and wide open and
And that's the crazy thing too, like the U.S. is just so different too depending on where you go.
So I wonder like if people in Texas grew up in Texas and visited Philly would be like, oh, this is awesome, like they got the Rocky Steps and you know whatever, Philly Liberty Bell and
cheese
water and cheesesteaks. Like I always wonder that. And when I went, but then when I went abroad, like when I went to Paris and Amsterdam and Rome and Venice, like there's no way that, I mean, those are different worlds. Colosseum and Venice, City on the Water and Amsterdam and
Paris. The gondolas.
So, yeah, I think we're on the same page. You know, I think, you know, you definitely have more ability than I do. I think that's why I'm trying to do this thing with the Polaroid. It's a very small thing, but it is artistic in a sense, you know, being able
absolutely.
You know, create something through photographs. And I'm trying to, I think, touch on different parts of my life that I've always just been like, oh, well, I don't like it or I'm not good at it. I'm going to focus on things that I like and I'm good at. You know, I think being able to branch out into different areas as you continue to grow is only going to further develop everybody.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also kind of think that social media plays a huge role in that, where you look at people who are designers, people who do this interior design, and you just see how phenomenal they are. And you're like, I can't even touch that. So I think that's like, you know, definitely one of the negatives of social media, because you know, you don't have to be great at something to love it and do it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think cooking too.
Yeah, I think like we've talked about this many times. Like social media is such a compare game, right? Like it's everybody's highlights, and you just have to compare yourself. And I always like the quote. I'm not going to try to say it exactly because I'll butcher it. But just compare yourself to you. Like, what did you do 3 months ago? Okay, are you doing better than you did 3 months ago? And whatever you wanted to do, great. And just keep going.
Yeah, like, did you season the chicken a little bit better now that you've been cooking for 3 months rather than, you know, putting some salt and pepper on it, you know?
Did you get a new recipe? Did you buy a new piece? You know, whatever, you know, it may be. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we're like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm comparing myself to Gordon Ramsay on social media, who's cooking these 90-second eggs, and they look like they're made by God himself. And you know, I think you have to be like, okay, I didn't get any shells in my egg this week, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think we're in the same boat there. And it sounds like Phantom Thread was slow and a little bit boring, but technically, acting-wise and movie-wise, very well done.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, we'll lock it in at 7.0. For me, I watched Lincoln, and it has been on my list for a long time. I think I have always decided to not watch it, one, because it's
It's longer. I like longer movies, but it's longer. Yeah. And every review I've seen about it is it's a little slow. And that's probably true. I think for me, as we've talked about many times on here, my favorite genre movie is real life type of movies. And
yes,
this is absolutely obviously a historical movie that I think in a sense is maybe the most factual period piece I've ever seen. Like mm-hmm. everything you read about and everything you know growing up in the history books and all that, like they really tried to make this as true of a storyline movie as they could. There's really no spoilers that I can give. I hope to God anybody listening knows kind of the history of America and the Civil War and, you know, the 13th Amendment to abolish slavery. But that's what this movie is centered around. It starts in the beginning of his second term of presidency, which is when the Civil War had been going on for 4 years at that time. It's really like a 4 or 5 month period of the time of, like I said, the beginning of his second term, when he's pushing for the 13th Amendment, which would abolish slavery, and also in turn trying to end the Civil War, which at that point, and maybe even still, I'm not sure, but was the bloodiest war that our country has ever seen. It's a masterclass of acting, and not only by Daniel Day-Lewis, but obviously led by him. I mean, he truly... I thought like that, like if I had to describe Abraham Lincoln or picture Abraham Lincoln, like to a T, how he spoke, the words he used, the way he looked, how tall he was, what he wore.
Yeah.
I mean, his hat, it was remarkable. And also the cast around him was so strong. Daniel Day-Lewis, Jeremy Strong, James Spader, Adam Driver, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Sally Field, Tommy Lee Jones, directed by Steven Spielberg.
It was phenomenal.
It was, and this is a compliment and the highest compliment I could pay it, because I think this is almost like what it was trying to do. It was as if I was watching a documentary on this part of American history. Was it slow? Sure. Mm-hmm. Was it maybe a little, I don't think boring is the right word, but maybe, you know, in a period piece about the Civil War, Hollywood could have done something where it was all about the war, blood and guts,
and battle.
And that's not what it was. There was very few battle scenes. It was around the process of who Abraham Lincoln was and what he was trying to accomplish with the Republican Party to abolish slavery and end the war that was obviously centered around that. And
possibly the greatest president in U.S. history.
Yeah, possibly. Definitely the greatest portrayal of a U.S. president in acting history.
Yes.
He won an Oscar for it, deservingly so. I was, like I said, I was blown away by how good he was and just the acting was.
Yeah. I'm so glad you loved it. I was a little nervous that it was going to be slow.
It definitely was. And like,
but as a history nerd, I was like, you know what? He's going to like that.
Yeah, for sure. So IMDb gave it a 7.3. Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 89%. It's as good of a piece that I relate to a documentary as I can rate it. So I gave it a 7.8. It doesn't have some of the things that I love in films. There's no, there's no romantic storyline. You know, there, as much as I love movies that relate to real life, I like a little dramatic and a little flair. Yeah. And it doesn't have that, and that's fine. That score for me is as best, is as good as it can get.
Yeah, him, I mean, that's an awesome score.
Him as an actor, that might be a top five performance I've ever seen in it. Honestly,
I'm pretty surprised that that had a lower IMDb rating than Phantom Thread, given that I've seen both. And even on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, again, a very minute difference, but still surprising.
I just think the dialogue that he had to deliver, like he was like, I was hanging on to every word that he was saying. And subtitles were key in this movie because they go back to obviously the 1860s.
Yeah.
And like there's some terms that, you know, were very different back then. I was hanging on to every word, every speech. You know, Abraham Lincoln was, and this was in the history books, like he loved to tell stories and he was loved by the people maybe more than any president ever has been. And a lot of that was because of the way that he spoke, the stories he told, yeah. similarly to Obama, I think, you know, very yeah, well-spoken I think, president.
Yeah, I think, like, when you look back on, you know, the presidents in the U.S., the two of them were just unbelievably eloquent.
Mm-hmm. And even outside of Daniel Day-Lewis, James Spader was fantastic as kind of a, I don't even know what they called them, but like a guy that was behind the scenes trying to buy votes and swing votes to towards the 13th Amendment. Sally Field as his wife was fantastic. Tommy Lee Jones as kind of the chairman of the amendment trying to get it passed were all so fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they had like little parts. Like I loved history. I went to school at first to be a secondary education history teacher. Like I took AP classes in high school only around U.S. and world history.
Yeah.
And like they had pieces in the Ulysses S. Grant and they had other Jefferson Davis, vice president of the Confederacy. And they had so many different like just historical figures, even if they were just for a scene or two. Like it was really cool to see. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. And like I said, I think that's one of the best acting performances I've seen. And I think it's as good as a movie of that kind of genre can score. For me, it's tough to talk about anything real life because, that, like I said, it's like a documentary of the Civil yeah. War. But I wanted to talk about the job of being the president of the United States. That has to be the worst job ever, right?
God, yes. Absolutely.
Like why would you want to be the president? Truthfully, because I don't think you actually have nearly as much power as the president is deemed to have. And I think it was also a little bit alarming as a side note, how it's obviously been like 150 years more than that since this time period, how little we've come in terms of like yeah. the House of Representatives all being all white old men and mm-hmm. the way that we think. It's so weird to see, like, it's fucking very similar to the world we live in now yeah. and the problems that we're having. That was just a side note. But like, I just wanted to get your take on like why anyone would want to be the president of any nation, but specifically the United States.
I genuinely cannot wrap my head around why somebody would want to do that. To be fair, I have only read one autobiography of a president or like their memoir, and that's Obama's. And he seemed that like he genuinely truly cared. And that was his way of showing how he cared, like going to be but I still.
Like the cons so outweigh the pros of that job.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember seeing pictures of him in year yes. one? And like, I get it. You age, right? For sure. And it was a span of 8 years. That's almost a decade. Yeah. I look absolutely totally different.
It's different with the president.
There's
a scene in that movie where Ulysses S. Grant, when the war is about to be over, is sitting on a porch with Lincoln, and he goes, I haven't seen you in a year, and it looks like you've aged 10.
Yes.
And that's like true. And he like Lincoln's like, yeah, the weariness has bit my bones or something, whatever he says. And it's like,
yeah, I mean, it's like it's a 24/7 job. It's got to be the most stressful job on the planet.
Really. I can't even get all of my friends to agree with me on things. I can't imagine trying to get as stupid of a country as we are to get all of us.
All the Congress. You know, politics in the United States is, I think, generally just very disheartening. Brutal.
Like, I can't. I just think of the, like you said, the eight, age you have to go through, what you have to put your family mm-hmm. through. You're in the national eye. Every decision you make is looked at and criticized and talked yep. about 24/7.
You're a sitting duck.
Even mm-hmm. after you're done with the presidency, like you have to have social services and like follow you around for, I think, like, what is it, 10 years after you're done? Like,
yeah,
it's, your life is so.
It's the Secret Service.
What I call it? Social service?
Yeah, social services is very different.
Sorry, it's a little later than usual recording. I don't know. Like, and also, I used to think like, okay, the pro of being the president of the United States is like you can make real change and be in it. That's not even the case. Like if you have such a big ego and you're like, oh, I want to be written in the history books as having done all of this, what you think to be great change. I now know as a 28-year-old, like you do not have the power.
No. That and you don't make that much money.
No. There's
Okay. To be fair, they do make a lot of money, but given how much they work,
they should make more than anybody. Like I think they make $500,000 a year.
Yeah, I think it's $400,000.
And then they obviously get like obviously the White House and all that, like
right
taken care of. You don't pay, you have no expenses, but
they do have to pay for their own food.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. They have to pay for their own food. They have to pay for
That's shocking. I thought they would definitely have a chef.
Oh, they do have a chef. So like the chef come like so the house the White House comes staffed, I think, technically.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to pay for your own food. And I believe, and like if you have kids, like you obviously have to pay for your kids. Mm-hmm. They're not just going to like cover it. I'm sure they have incredible health insurance and I'm sure the children are privy to that as well. Yeah, I didn't know that until I also read Michelle Obama's memoir.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The next worst job has to be First Lady of the United States. Like you're just being dragged along for this journey. And like, God bless Michelle. I think she did as good of a job as you can do of like trying to create your own lane.
Well, and it's like crazy too. Like in her book, she talks about that. She's like, Barack wanted to do this. Barack wanted to do that. Yeah. She was like, he always consulted with me. And like, she did not want him to run for president. She didn't want it.
I don't know why anybody would. I mean, Melania was clearly very unhappy in that position, you know, and I think I think there's probably been many first ladies that were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, Hillary definitely wasn't happy.
No, and you have to do like, you don't have to do stupid shit. I'm not saying that, but yeah, you kind of do.
You're like, just because I almost feel like, I don't know if this is right, and I'm not trying to pull a card, but it's almost like they try to pull like, you're the first lady card. Like you must decorate the house and like throw a party.
Yes,
and like,
yes.
What if some women don't want to do that?
Exactly. Like, I think that should be an optional thing. And like, you know, Michelle's thing of school lunches and stuff. That's awesome. That's great. You know, like we're a very obese nation. We needed that. But like some of the other stuff that they have to like the it's just it's insane. I'm like
I think we've agreed on everything tonight because that's just got to be the worst job.
I'm with you. You can pay me.
I would never sleep. I would be so like stressed that everybody
would you do me. It for $3 million a year?
No, I would literally never. There's no there's no number I don't think that you could tell me to
be president. No, I mean, I totally agree. There's no number you could possibly give me to make me want that.
Because it just changed your entire life. And also, I would never be elected. The amount of things they get to drag up in your past, I'd be so fucked. Like, you also have to have, like, like a perfect record. And it's all, like, sneaky and lies and, like,
it is
handshakes behind closed doors. Like, I'm not that type of person. So, like, I would just do so poorly because I'm just a very blunt person.
You are, yes.
So it's not for me. And honestly, it shouldn't be for anybody. We should abolish the president and just run as like a, I don't even know, like just a committee of people that get to run the country.
Yeah. I mean, the EU has multiple. I mean, they still have like a quote unquote president or like someone in charge type deal, but they do have committees, which has seemed to, you know, I can't even say that. I don't know if it's done that well. I don't think politics really serve anybody that well. They just kind of happen. And
I don't even know if they're doing any good either nowadays.
We're just kind of sitting there with our dicks in our hands like,
Yeah, it's true. But I do think that the underlying storyline of this episode for Roll the Credits is that Daniel Day-Lewis is a fantastic actor. He picks his projects well.
Yes, he
does. Lock in a 7.0 and a 7.8 for the two movies as we go to Tina's Good News Story of the Week.
All right, so this isn't necessarily like, well, no, this is news. This is still news. So y'all know how we do our Christmas episodes, and we have the lovely Julia Campbell come on and serenade us. Mm-hmm. Well, Julia has just released her first single. It is on Spotify, Apple Music, and probably other sources that I don't know about, but I know you can definitely listen to it on Spotify. And I'm going to give you guys a little sneak peek of it. It's called Where We Left Off. I'm not going to play the whole thing. We absolutely own no rights to this song, and I hope Julia does not sue us, because we have nothing to give her if she does.
She would never.
Took a fight through the night, called it up bitter. Took a swig of the wine, I know that you like. I know that you like it. Now I'm drunk and in love, living in the sky. Walked through all of my walls, softened by the skies. Till next time. I'm holding out for you when I'm making fish of integral time. Know that I want you, but I couldn't love you right now. I hope that I want you to.
She's very good.
She's incredible.
She's got like such that like that good raspy voice, you know?
Yeah. She kind of reminds me a little bit of like Lorde. Or
that's a good,
I'm thinking of like Billie Eilish.
That's a good comparison. Yeah, she's very like, it is raspy, but it's like soothing at the same time. Like, I could fall asleep to that song, and maybe I will.
Maybe you will, yeah. So go download, stream it, whatever.
Yes, please go do that. That is great good news, Tina. Where We Left Off by Julia Campbell.
Yeah, and she's going to have a full album or EP out soon. And I forget which, but either way.
She is. And I think she's obviously raising money, as all artists do.
Yes.
I think like if you donate to her link, which you can find on her social media platforms, which we've definitely posted and I'm sure Tina can post again.
Yes, I will.
If you donate, I believe you are like involved somehow in like,
yeah, she sends something. I don't know what.
She sends something to you or, yeah, I don't know like if what exactly it is, so I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I know that if you do donate to, you know, helping her build that album, you get some sort of, you know, kind of postcard or note or something like that.
Yeah. So follow her on Instagram for her music. It's Julia Campbell Music. I'm gonna assume y'all know how to spell that. So yeah, check her out. Give her a follow. She's also on TikTok. I don't remember her name on TikTok, but I'm sure you could search Julia Campbell Music and that would come up.
Yes, please go check it out. Check out her song, Where We Left Off, Julia Campbell. I'm sure she'll be back again for the third time. I think that'll be the first three-time guest of us. I think we've had a couple of people on twice, but we love her here and we wish her the best and her music is great. All right, let's go to the wheel. See what we got. We got a fully stocked wheel. Let's spin it.
Yeehaw.
Oh, America's heartthrob. I find it hard-pressed for anybody to dislike this man. He's been in the acting space for so long. He's beloved by all of his colleagues and all of his fans. No, that's a great guess. He's a fantastic late night guest. He has just the cutest one-liners. Keanu Reeves is who we're going to be taking a look into. That's usually the reaction that people get when they think of him. I haven't seen too much of his stuff. Obviously, known
best, I would say, probably for The Matrix. But he's done a lot out there, and he took a break for a while, and he's coming back now. I know they're like redoing some of the Matrix movies and things, and John Wick that he's in. But we'll take a look at Keanu Reeves next week on Roll the Credits. And I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. We hope you guys enjoyed Daniel Day-Lewis. I hope you guys are filling up your cup for the month of June as much as me and Tina are. Life is hopefully good. And if it's not, take a deep breath, look around, and find what you can be, kind of appreciative of. And again, try not to compare yourself.
If you want to talk, DM us.
Yeah, DM us. Come on the podcast.
Come on the podcast.
I think it's very key to try to take a step away, be present, stop comparing yourself to everything out there on social media or in your life, and just compare yourself to you. Are you doing better day by day? Are you building consistency in whatever part of your life that is important to you, whether that's at work, your mental health, your physical health, social health, romantic, friendships, family, whatever that is? Take it a day at a time. Every day is a new day, and try to soak it up as much as you can.
Absolutely. Ditto.
Ditto. As always, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Tina.
We'll talk to you next week on Roll the Credits with episode 93 of Keanu Reeves. That's it.